Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is being recorded and will be placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line during the question and answer session, press star 6 or use the microphone icon on your computer screen. Until then, please keep your phone on mute or use the microphone to remain muted. The question and answer session will be at the end of the call. Our agenda today includes Lisa Holtz from the National Weather Service and the Missouri River Water Management Division, headed up by John Remus and his staff, including Mike Swenson and Ryan Larson. And with that, I will hand the call over to Lisa Holtz.
Good afternoon. I'd like to start by thanking the Corps of Engineers for inviting NOAA to participate in this series of calls once again. Go ahead and go to the next slide. There. Thanks. The mountain snowpack has melted and wrapped up the 2025 runoff season. As expected, the snowmelt runoff was below normal for the year. The latest U.S. drought monitor that was released today shows overall drought conditions within the basin have improved slightly, going from 41% back on June 3rd to 31% as of just this morning, but roughly an additional 20% remains categorized as abnormally dry. The most improvement across the lower two-thirds of the basin, mainly Wyoming to South Dakota and locations further south. However, moderate drought has expanded across northern and western portions of Montana, so much so that extreme drought is also being observed. Since our last call, the lower half of the Missouri Basin has been relatively active. During the first half of June, several rounds of heavy rain impacted the lower Missouri Basin, primarily the Meritazine and Osage Basins in eastern Kansas and Missouri, the Grand and Platte Basins in Missouri, along with several smaller tributaries to the Missouri River. This caused minor to moderate flooding across these areas. In late June, a stalled boundary led to heavy rainfall, especially for central Nebraska, where upwards of 7 inches of rain fell across the Platte River Valley in a very short amount of time. The intense rain triggered flash flooding, but most river flooding remained to near flood stage. The drought conditions across this area at this time allowed for much of the water to soak into the soils, limiting the impacts. The very end of June brought thunderstorms to the Sioux River Basin in South Dakota, where several locations experienced minor flooding. Looking ahead over the next 3 months through the end of September, the colored dots on this map show locations where there is a greater than 50% chance of experiencing flooding. Flood risk is denoted by the colored dots, orange being greater than 50% chance for minor flooding and red indicating a greater than 50% chance of moderate flooding. As you can see, the main risk continues to be confined to the lower basin in eastern Kansas and the state of Missouri. Thunderstorm activity drives risk of flooding in these areas during the summer months. As with all thunderstorm activity, isolated, very heavy pockets of rain can be expected. Depending on the timing and location of these events, we do expect episodic, minor to moderate flooding to occur in the lower portion of the basin through the end of summer. Thank you, and this concludes the NWS Flood Potential Brief.
Over to you, John.
Thank you, Eileen, and thank you, Lisa, for your insights there. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River mainstream reservoir system. Before we get into today's discussion, I just want to take a moment to reflect on the recent tragedies that occurred in Texas, New Mexico, and North Carolina. Our hearts go out to the families and communities that have been affected by these events. A little closer to home, some of you may recall that just over a year ago, record flooding on the Big Sioux River devastated communities in South Dakota. Events such as these underscore the power of water and the need for everyone to be vigilant when on or near water. This call is the sixth and the last of our scheduled calls, stakeholder calls for 2025. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when directly comparing one event to another. Since the last call, there has been a number of significant rainfall events across the basin, and in general, drought conditions have improved over much of the basin, as Lisa Holtz just talked about. That said, the main stem reservoir system storage remains below normal, and therefore we will continue water conservation measures through the summer and fall. If the present forecast is realized, conservation measures will continue through the winter, resulting in minimum releases from the system. Water users in the lower river are encouraged to begin to assess their risk and, if needed, begin to develop contingency plans. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs, in the river reaches between the reservoirs, and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System for its authorized purposes as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 biological opinion. Lastly, the runoff forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Ryan Larson and Mike Swinson will be discussing are based on the best available information. As we move through the year, actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. And I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. On slide six, Eileen. Looking back at observed precipitation as a percent of normal over the past 30 days, well above normal rainfall occurred over much of Nebraska, eastern South Dakota, western Iowa, and small areas of Montana and western South Dakota. The heaviest amounts ranged from 9.5 to 11 inches, equating to over 300% of normal precipitation in localized areas. In contrast, drier than normal conditions have been prevalent in northern Montana and North Dakota, much of Wyoming and Colorado, eastern Kansas, and central Missouri. Over the past 90 days, the areas of above and below normal precipitation are less pronounced, but generally follow the same pattern as the last 30 days. Moving to slide seven. Temperatures of the past 30 and 90 days are shown in the figures on slide seven. Over the past 30 days, temperatures have been slightly above normal across much of the basin, with the highest temperatures being across central portions of the basin and Montana, where temperatures range from 2 to 4 degrees above normal. Over the past 90 days, the overall departures have ranged from 0 to 2 degrees above normal throughout most of the basin, with pockets of 2 to 4 degrees above normal and small areas of 0 to 2 degrees below normal in Kansas. Moving to slide 8. Soil moisture is factored into the forecast as an indicator of wet or dry hydrologic conditions. Soil moisture, as calculated by the Climate Prediction Center, or CPC soil model, is depicted as a soil moisture ranking percentile and anomaly on July 8th. The two July 8th images show the driest soil moisture in the mountains and plains of Montana and Wyoming and northern North Dakota. There are still areas in South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri with drier than normal soil moisture conditions. However, the seasonal soil moisture anomaly change in the lower right image shows improvement in soil moisture over much of those areas. Moving to slide 9. The National Drought Monitor categorizes drought conditions based on severity. As of July 8th, about 58% of the basin is experiencing abnormally dry conditions or worse, while 31% of the basin is classified in official drought. Drought conditions are most severe in Montana, eastern Wyoming, southwestern South Dakota, and Nebraska. Compared to 3 months ago, drought conditions have improved with a reduction of official drought conditions from 53% to 31%. The current seasonal drought outlook indicates drought persisting in existing areas of drought and potential for drought conditions to expand in Montana, Wyoming, and western North Dakota. Drought is likely to improve or be removed over portions of eastern Nebraska and South Dakota by the end of September. Moving to slide 10. Looking at the CPC's monthly and seasonal outlooks for the month of July, CPC is indicating increased chances for above normal temperatures for all of the basin, with the greatest chances showing up in western portions of the basin. The July precipitation outlook indicates increased chances for below normal precipitation in Montana, most of Nebraska, western Iowa, northern Kansas, and Missouri. The remainder of the basin has equal chances of above normal, below normal, or normal precipitation. And now on slide 11. Over the July-August-September period, CPC is showing a similar trend with increased chances for above normal temperatures, especially in western portions of the basin. The precipitation outlook is indicating increased chances for below normal precipitation in the upper basin. Moving to slide 12. Mountain snowpack is a significant contributor to runoff into Fort Peck and Garrison reservoirs. Mountain snowpack typically peaks around July 17th, and snowbelt runoff typically enters the reservoirs in May, June, and July. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach, shown in the left graph, peaked at 92% of average on April 5th. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach, shown in the right graph, peaked at 95% of average on April 5th. Snow in both reaches completely melted by June 25th, approximately a week earlier than normal. And now on slide 13. Accounting for all the previously described conditions, the July 1st, 2025 calendar year runoff forecast for the upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 19.1 million acre feet, or 74% of average, and is highlighted in red. This forecast is near the lower quartile, or the lower 25% of runoff years calculated since 1898. Moving to slide 14. The 2025 annual runoff forecast for the upper Missouri River Basin is broken down by month into observed and forecasted runoff in this chart. Observed runoff through April, represented by the blue bars, was below average due to the below average plain snowpack runoff and the drought conditions earlier this year. However, runoff in May was average due to the abundant precipitation in western and central Dakotas, along with an earlier melting of the mountain snowpack. Runoff was again below average in June as the early melting mountain snowpack and lack of widespread precipitation resulted in reduced tributary flows. During the remaining months of the calendar year, we are forecasting below average runoff represented by the gold bars due to the below normal precipitation outlook and above normal temperature outlook. In summary, the 2025 calendar year runoff forecast is 19.1 million acre feet, or 74% of average. Mike Swenson will now talk about system regulation.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gamblin's Point releases are currently at 24,000 CFS. Releases will likely remain at that rate for several more days and will then be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream targets. Turning to slide 16, system storage is currently at 51.9 million acre feet, 4.2 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. System storage peaked on June 29th at 52.1 million acre feet. In terms of the monthly simulations or monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus mostly on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Looking at slide 17, showing the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 7.4, 2.6, and 8.5 feet below the base of their respective flood control zones. Fort Peck Reservoir peaked in earlier in June and has generally been declining since that time. Releases are currently at 9,000 CFS and will remain at that rate through September. Garrison Reservoir is near peak elevation for the year. Due to the lower runoff forecast, Garrison summer releases were reduced from 23,000 CFS to 21,500 CFS on July 7th. Releases will remain at that rate through mid-September. Oahe Reservoir is currently near elevation 1599 and is expected to fluctuate near its current elevation in July. Peak releases are expected to average about 29,000 CFS this summer. Next slide. Now on slide 18, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The July 1st system storage check resulted in a 500 CFS reduction to the navigation flow support level. We are currently providing flow support at a level 4,500 CFS below full service. For this service level on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from about 26,000 to 30,000 CFS. The navigation flow support season length is also based on the July 1st system storage. That check indicated that there would be a full-length flow support season ending December 1st at the mouth of the Missouri River. As noted earlier by John, the monthly studies are also indicating that the winter release from Gavin's Point, which is based on the September 1st storage check, will likely be at the minimum rate of 12,000 CFS. Moving on to the next slide here, energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 8.1 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And the last slide for me is slide 20, which shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. So I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
Thank you, Mike. As a reminder, this is our last call for the current runoff season. We'll hold our next call in January. We'll also have public meetings in whatever format that looks like in the fall. We'll move to the question and answer session. For members of the media, the names of our speakers, their position titles, and contact information is on the current screen. As mentioned before, I'll go in alphabetical order by state and then ask you to state your name and the organization you represent. Press star 6 to unmute your phone or use the microphone icon in the conferencing app. Right now we have 58 callers on the line. I believe we peaked at 60. We'll start with the state of Iowa. Kansas. Nebraska. I skip Missouri and Montana. So Missouri, Montana, North Dakota. South Dakota. Again, that's any callers from South Dakota media or otherwise. Wyoming. Any other callers come off mute, ask your question. All right, I don't see any questions in the chat, so I'll hand it back to you, John.
Thank you, Arlene. As we move through the summer and into the fall, there will continue to be activity on or near the river and reservoirs, navigation, irrigation, recreation, and so on. Being on or near water is inherently dangerous. Please use the proper safety equipment and procedures and be aware of the existing and forecasted conditions. I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Also, please pay attention to weather forecasts and local conditions. Conditions can change and sometimes change quite rapidly. Please plan accordingly and exercise safety first. As I stated earlier, this is our last scheduled stakeholder call for 2025. If the actual conditions begin to significantly change from forecasted conditions, ad hoc calls will be scheduled. If you have any questions regarding reservoir operations, feel free to contact us. As Eileen said, the contact information is provided on the final slide. One more thank you to Lisa Holtz for joining us today. And I will offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting.
John, this is Jody Heemstra at DRG Media Group in Pierre.
Yes.
Just looking at the current reservoir levels for Fort Peck, Garrison, Oahe, and Fort Randall, it looks like Oahe is quite a bit lower than the other three of the big four. Just kind of wondering how we got that low and how the management and manual and direction is going as far as potentially bringing that maybe back up a little bit.
I'll let Mike Swenson talk to you about that.
So I guess just in a general comment, Ryan talked about the amount of snowpack that comes into Fort Peck and Garrison. So generally those two reservoirs during the spring and early summer pick up most of the runoff, and I guess Garrison picked up more this year than, relative to Fort Peck. In terms of, the reservoirs, we will, over the next several months, sort of rebalance storage in the reservoirs to, meet the authorized purposes. We try to, provide some benefits in terms of recreation and hydropower and those kind of things. But by the time we get to early next year, before next year's runoff season, we'll try to get those reservoirs balanced so that they're closer to, in terms of percentage of their multi-purpose pool filled.
Also, at Oahe, we had virtually no plain snowpack this year, which is a component of runoff that generally runs into Oahe, and we just didn't have any this year, so it'll be a long process.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Hearing nothing, again, thank you for calling in today. And if things change, we'll let you know and we'll schedule another call. With that, I will end the call today. Thank you.